Good to see everyone this morning. We're in the book of Romans, so turn to the book of Acts. But before you do, I want you to look at Psalms 147. Now, does anybody remember where we left off last week? It always helps if you remember where I left off, because then you'll know where I'm picking up. Beg your pardon? Well, why did we leave off there?
We're talking about salvation.
Well, how do you get salvation there? Well, but there's two items in that verse that talks about how you get salvation. He says, let us therefore come boldly, confidently. Now, how can a sinner, and I said, it's not only for sinners, it's also for saints after you become saints, right? But it's primarily here for sinners. How can a sinner come boldly before the throne of God or the throne of grace? How can they do that? Do they have a right to come? I'll ask that again. That was a pretty quick no. Do they have a right to come? Well, he says they do, because he says, let us come boldly, confidently. Now, how can a sinner come before the throne of God, the throne of grace, confidently or boldly?
They come with a contrite heart.
That's true. That's true. But based on what's in this chapter, in chapter 4, Remember, it talks about something that is sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you, honey. Listen, if you come according to what God says, if you come according to how God says, if you come expecting what God said you can get when you come there, according to what he says, guess what? You get. He says, let us therefore come with confidence before the throne of grace that we may obtain. Listen, you'll never know the favor of God until you have experienced the mercy of God. Not possible. Because grace means favor. And God don't favor people that he's not first shown mercy to, folks. That's why it says that. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain, lay hold on. That's what the word means. Lay hold. You're going to come there, and just like Jacob wrestling, you're going to grab hold of God and you're not letting go till he blesses you. That's what it means. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, let me ask you something. You've got a lost son or daughter, a lost husband or wife, a lost mother or daughter, a lost friend or foe. What is their greatest need? Hello? It's everyone's greatest need, folks. And you can't solve your need until you come where God says you can solve your need. It just doesn't happen. Listen, people can deceive themselves. They can talk themselves out of it. They can talk about how good they are, all this stuff. But it's based on what God says that counts. And he says, you'll obtain mercy and you'll find grace when you come according to my word. Now, I want you to look at Psalms 147. I got to hurry because I've got so much. Oh, I've got so much. Now, how many times would you say mercy appears in the Psalms? No. Well, there's 150 chapters. 92 times the word mercy appears in 150 chapters. 92 times. Would you say that's important? Would you say that's important? I want you to see the last time it's mentioned. The last time mercy is mentioned is in 146 or 147 of Psalms, and it says this in verse 11. Well, let me read verse 9. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. In other words, he doesn't care about man's abilities or strengths. He doesn't get any pleasure out of that because you have none. You have nothing to offer God. That's what he's saying. And so then he comes down and he says this, the Lord doesn't take pleasure in one thing, but he does take pleasure in no, don't read more than one word at a time. In them. Well, look, folks, if you can't see the specificity there, I can't help you. He only gets pleasure out of a certain group of people. Right? In them. In them who? In them that fear him. Now, the word fear there means two things. I've given it to you more times than I can count them. What are they? Well, most people would run to the reverence part. Okay, it means reverence. But before it means reverence, it means to be afraid of, to be frightened of. Not only to be frightened of, to be exceedingly frightened of. Now look. If you come before an almighty God, that, by the way, put billions of stars in place and knows each one by name. Do you know how many cells are in a human body? 66 trillion. 66 trillion. I don't even know how many zeros that is. You know how he did that, Diane? Do you know how he made 66 trillion cells in your body? He took dirt. Not only dirt, but the dust of the dirt. Bless God, the particles of dirt. That's who he is. He took the particles of dirt and made man with 66 trillion cells. That's who God is. That's who God is. And I'll tell you where God's at. That's who God is, and I'll tell you where he's at. He's on his throne, and he's not abdicating it. He's not giving it up. This world may think he's not still on that throne. And the way they're acting, bless God, I can tell you they don't. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll either come there, Dwayne, as a sinner seeking mercy, or you'll come there as a sinner getting none. But you're going to come there. They're all going to come there. They're all going to show up there. It's when you show up that counts. Are you going to take his word for it and show up before you're dead? Or are you going to show up after you're dead when you'll get no mercy? None. No pity. None. No kindness. None. No love. None. No patience. None. No long suffering. None. No gentleness. None. 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 But if you come the way he says come, you get all that. That's what mercy is. Now, I got something really good for mercy, but don't go away. Don't go away. I probably won't get where I want to go. I cook so much during the week. There ain't no way I can feed it all to you. But I'll serve as fast as I can. You eat as fast as you can. And those that hope. Now, I talked to people. I've just recently talked to a man about where we're going when we leave here. His words were, I hope so. Well, that's not the hope that's here. What was that word where he says that we can come? And that word means confidently. And the word confidently means assuredly. And assuredly means with assurance. And the word hope here means with assurance. Not based on you. You can't come based on anything you've done. You can't come confidently that way. But you can based on what he's done. And so he says, them that fear him and that have assurance in his mercy. Now what's the very next word? Remember I told you that's the last time mercy is given in the Psalms? From here on out till it ends. You know what the theme is?
Praise.
Praise. So much so that it ends in saying, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Mercy. Here's what it means in the Hebrew. And that's what this was written. It means to stoop or to bend to an inferior. I want you to think about that. Is God inferior to man? Oh, no. He's far superior to man. But the superior one will bend and to the inferior one that comes according to his word. Think about that. He will, I'll give you this. This is a great illustration. Young 25-year-old man over near Asheville just won the Republican congressional primary. 25-year-old. The man he's going to try to replace, if he wins the general election, is Mark Meadows, Congressman Mark Meadows, who took the, he's this, now the chief of staff of the president. And, you know, Mark Meadows, several years ago, met this man. And he was so impressed with him. He's in a wheelchair. He was so impressed with him, he's a motivational speaker. He's a real estate. He built his own real estate business. He was so impressed with him that he wanted him to come to Washington. And here's what the young man said. He said, I'll never forget when he came to ask me to come up there to where he was. He got on his knees before me so he could talk to me at eye level. You know who Congressman Mark Meadows endorsed during that primary? His wife's friend, who was not this young man. And they asked the man about it because they was trying to get him. I know they was trying to get him. And he said, oh, I don't find fault with the man. That was his wife's best friend. I understand that. The people just chose me. But for him to be a congressman, he was superior to the man in that regard. You get that, don't you? And he wanted him to come up to Washington where he was and to see how government works. But he was willing to bend down to his eye level. Well, folks, Think of Almighty God. When you come to the throne of grace, He's willing to bend down to your level to show you mercy. It's no wonder that the very next word is praise. I said in the prayer room this morning, I think in my prayer, I can't remember. I think it's where. You know, we pray a lot. We need to praise more. You know, God's always there when we pray. He says He will. He says He'll be there. He'll hear us. He'll answer us. But you know, I don't know that we praise Him enough. Maybe if we praised Him more, He'd hear more prayers. You think? Now, in Romans, Paul is burdened for the Israelites. You remember that? And he's burdened for one reason. I gave it to you, and it's one verse that tells the whole story. Because he talks about the promise of God, the election of God, the sovereignty of God, God as the potter. You know, he talks about all these things. But there's one verse that causes Paul's burden. What was it? It's one verse that causes Paul's burden. What was it? It's one verse that causes Paul's burden. What was it? He says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. What did I tell you that meant? Don't look at your notes. Tell me what I told you. I'll give it to you again. I'll paraphrase it again, and please remember it. It's crucial to your understanding of the Word of God. He says, not as though the Word of God is driven off course. The Jews wanted God's Word to be driven off course. They wanted to be accepted with God because they were the children of Abraham, because of their Jewish heritage. That's what they wanted. That's why they went to the temple. That's why they made sacrifice. That's why they were Pharisaical, a lot of them. That's why they were Sadducees and scribes. That's why they were religious muckety-muck. Because they wanted to be accepted of God. But God had already told them how to be accepted of Him. And Paul says what they're not understanding is this ain't going off course. Folks, we can't preach or teach but one message, and we better not think we can get it off course. We better not think that God just accepts anything that we think. We better understand God accepts only what He says. Only what He says, through only whom He said, and that's it. And it's not getting off course. Then He goes on to talk about it. He says, for the children of the flesh, meaning the children of Abraham, are not. You won't help me. I'm going to do it till you help me. Are not. Bless God. We need to understand are not. I saw a sign this morning. Oh boy, I tell you what, that's the best sign I've seen at a church. I don't know when. He said, sugar preaching will get you nothing but a lot of ain'ts. Because you're either a saint or you ain't. So, Paul's burden. And he talks about the promise. It's by promise. And then he talks about it's not only by promise, it's by election. He says that the purpose of God through election might stand. Remember when he's talking about two people. Who was he talking about? Jacob and Esau. Remember, he said, the elder shall serve the younger. Is that what happened? Yeah. Bless God, you better believe it. And he says, for it is written, Jacob have I loved, but... Listen, these people think God just loves everybody as they are. Folks, I got, listen, you can say I'm a fanatic if you want to, but until you can prove it in that book to me, I'm going to tell you something. If you are not in Jesus Christ, you'll never experience the love of God. All you've got is God's hate for you. Because he hates the sin where you are, the way you're going, the course you're on, the path you're trodden. He hates it. And until you get off of it, you'll never know his love. I don't mean to point at you. That's just how I do. Don't get it. That's why I ain't going on Facebook. They think I'm a nut. But that's what Paul's burden is about. And then he comes on down there. And he talks about Pharaoh. And God says, well, for this very reason, I raised Pharaoh up. For two reasons. To show my power and to make my name known throughout the world. Yeah. Well, you say, well, that don't seem fair. That don't seem fair that God would raise a man up just so he could get show his power and make his name known. That doesn't seem fair to Pharaoh. Oh, that's what it says in there. God must have known that's what we'd think. Because he said, oh, what you say then? Is God unrighteous? He says, God forbid. God's never unrighteous, folks. What God does is always right. It'll never be wrong. It'll never be wrong. And then he goes on to say, I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And then he comes on down there and he says, I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And I'll harden. Well, you know who he's talking about there, don't you? He's talking about Pharaoh. He gave Pharaoh every opportunity to see his power. And to make his name known. He gave him every opportunity in all those plagues. And just when the plagues got bad enough, Pharaoh would sort of give in. And then he'd have second thoughts. Like a lot of people today, folks say they're saved. Listen. Like a lot of people. As soon as the circumstances get better, as soon as the situation gets better, hey, they're right back where they were, and they can't figure it out. And so, but the danger of that is this. At some point, God will harden you. And then, you know what will happen to you? I don't mean you, to a person. I'll try to talk better. You know what will happen to a person that God hardens their heart? They'll drown in the Red Sea. That's what will happen to them. They will know the wrath of God when it's too late. When it's too late. That's what he's talking about. God's sovereign. He does these things if he wants. Listen, he gives a promise and he fulfills it. He chooses, and bless God, that's who he chooses. He shows compassion and who he wants to. He shows mercy on whom he wants to. But he also hardens whom he wants to. He's God. And then he comes on down there and he talks about a potter. He says, well, what if the potter, willing to make some vessels unto honor and some unto dishonor? Is that okay? You're picking up. I'm glad somebody in here's picking up what I'm putting down. He's not only the potter, he's God. If he wants to make a vessel of dishonor, bless God, he'll make one. Just ask Pharaoh.
Who is his God?
That's what he said. I know not this God. That's what he said. So he's talking about that. Now, I wanted to demonstrate this to you. And I thought, boy, if there was just some book that I could bring in here that would really demonstrate, you know, something somebody's written or something that would really give you a great illustration or great understanding of what he's talking about here. Well, that'd be helpful, wouldn't it? Oh, that's right. We've already got it. It's already in here. It's already in here. Turn to Acts. Turn to Acts. Now, in chapter 23, 24, and 25, Paul, if you know, the Jews are out to get him. Now, I want you to listen to this. If you don't see this in today, I can't help you. Look, if you're not, there's nothing new in all the earth. That's what the Bible says. Is that true? Well, look, I'm not for this gentleman. I'm not against this gentleman. I'm not pushing this gentleman's book. I'm making an illustration. Ambassador John Bolton, President Bush, during a recess part of Congress, because Bolton couldn't get approved because the Democrats hated him and blocked him, appointed him during that recess, which he could do. But only till the recess was over, and then it had to be approved of Congress. Well, he never got approved because the Democrats hated him. They hated him. President Trump, he wants him in his administration. But he knows if he puts him in a position that requires Senate approval, he'll never get through because they
hate him.
Thank you. Oh, y'all are getting with me now. They hate the man. So what does he do? He says, I'll make him NSC. I'll make him the National Security Director. That doesn't need approval. I'll bring him in. Well, as it turns out, he didn't agree with a lot of the policies and the way the president was doing things. So the president said, well, you got to go. And so he went. Now, what do people generally do when they go? You're the only one in here, huh? It's with me. They write a book. And it was so favorable to the president. Oh, no. Well, it wouldn't be favorable to him because he got fired. So now guess what? He's the darling of the Democrats. The very one they wouldn't approve, bless God, for a position. Oh, this is a man of trustworthiness. This is a man of honesty. This is a man of integrity. Oh, this guy should be believed. Well, it wasn't any different back then. You remember the Bolton illustration when I read this. And you'll see things don't change, folks. You know why? Because man's heart don't change until God changes it. And once God changes your heart, things will be different. So now Paul has been before Felix because the Jews wanted to kill him. But just like with Jesus, they wanted somebody else to do their dirty work. So they wanted him killed, so they brought him to Felix. Now, Felix says, well, I'm paraphrasing now. Well, he ain't done anything worthy of killing, so I'll send him to Festus. We're going to pass him off. So he sends him up to Festus. Now, Festus listens to him, and he says, didn't you tell Felix that you want to be heard by Caesar? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, that gets me out of this. Then it's to Caesar you go. We're going to send you on up to Caesar. Well, then comes King Agrippa. And Festus says, oh, would you like to hear this man? He said, I certainly would. I'd like to hear his case. I'd like to know if he's worthy of anything of death or not. Chapter 26, I'm going to read as quickly as I can. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. They know who I am, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. They know my past. And now I stand and am tried or condemned or judiciously tried. And the hope, for the hope of the promise made of God. Just because, bless God, now I'm telling them about the promise of God for them. Now they love me when I was doing certain things, and they hate me now. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. In other words, the reason they go to the temple and take their sacrifice is so they can try to get the promise of God. And I'm telling them how they can get the promise of God, and they hate me for it. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? That just seems to come out of the blue. Nothing's been said about raising the dead. Well, wouldn't you say what he's saying is this? Why should it seem incredible that a person who was dead in sins is now made alive in Christ Jesus? Why is it incredible that a person that used to live one way now all of a sudden is living a different way and they can't seem to get it? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. That's who I was. I thought I ought to do many things contrary to Jesus. This before now. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to... You know what that means? He says, I went into the church. I went in with armed guards. And I held a gun to Shirley's head. And I said, you'll denounce Christ or I'll pull this trigger. That's what he said. That's who I was, he said. Is that a man that we would think worthy of mercy? Not me. You know what? I've had to repent of it. But I've said this country doesn't deserve one drop of a policeman's blood. This country doesn't deserve one drop of a soldier's blood now. Not one. Not one. But you know who doesn't deserve one drop of Christ's blood? This fat boy. I didn't deserve it either. Boy, I found it. Knew what he did? He covered me with it. He didn't just give me a drop, bless God. He covered me with it. I'm covered in it. Huh? So he says, and I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Now here's what I made me a little note over here so that you'll understand what it's saying here. I said, the man with authority met the one with all authority and was commissioned by the great high priest. Because he says, I was on the road to Damascus with authority. I had my papers. And I was commissioned by the high priest. Ain't I something? I was going down to kill me some Christians. When I met the great high priest. And he says, this great light shined about me stronger than the sun, brighter than the sun. And I fell down and those around me fell down. And I heard this voice say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard to kick against the pricks. Anybody know what that is? That was a thing that they put around a corral to keep animals in. And it had little sharp things on it because they'd come up there and want to, you know, kick at the fence and try to get it down. But when they'd hit them sharp pricks, they'd say, Oh, no, I ain't going to prank your cat no more. I'm not stupid. He said, here's what it's talking about, Jenna. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because Paul said, who are you? Oh, he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Well, I'm going up here to get these Christians. No, if you're going after my children, you're going after me. We got to figure that out, folks. For somebody to get to you, they got to go through Christ first.
Yeah.
For Satan to get to you, well, he just don't get to you. You're off limits. You say, well, who is that bothering me? Well, it might be the flesh. But nothing's coming into your life as a child of God that he don't allow. That's why he can say, for all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. There's nothing comes in. Listen, it may seem awful to us. It may seem terrible to us. It may seem unfair to us. But if we trust God's word, we can say, no, it's good for us. I just don't understand it yet. But it's good for us. So he says, and we were all falling to the earth. I heard a voice speaking to me saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against bricks. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, for this cause, for this plan. To
make.
And don't miss that word. That's a word of creation, folks. That's a word of creation. Paul, I know you're one thing. I see who you are. I've known who you are. But I met you on this road to make you something else. I know you've got authority from the priest and the commission from the priest, but I'm going to give you a different authority and a different commission. He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen. In other words, I'm going to tell you, I want you to tell people about what you've seen today now. But not only that, and of those things in which I will. I want you to tell about the day you got saved, but I want you to continue to tell about the things I'm going to do for you until you leave here. Why? Because every day, brother, after you get saved, you're going to need to come to that throne. You say, Tom, I haven't. You will. I can't tell you how many times I've went. But, oh, God, show me mercy. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to think that. I didn't mean to act that way. Show me mercy. You know what he does, honey? He does the same thing he did the first time I went. Bless God, he stoops over. Maybe you don't get it like I do. But he stoops over. And he does this. Come on, son. It's okay. Any of you ever seen a little child and it falls and it skins itself? Now I got a boo-boo. Well, you didn't just say, well, you'll be all right. Well, if you did, you're a terrible person. No, if you're worth anything, you pick that little thing up. And it's okay, honey. It'll be okay. Mommy or Daddy, we'll fix it. Come on. We'll put a Band-Aid on it. They love Band-Aids. I don't know what it is about children and Band-Aids, but they love Band-Aids. Because it covers their boo-boos. Well, folks, I will confess to you that from 1982 in February in Winter Park, Florida, I've had more boo-boos than I wish to admit to. And he's picked me up every time. And he doesn't put a Band-Aid on it. He puts ointment on it. It's his blood.
Yeah.
He rubs that blood on it and he says, it's okay. This will make it better. Now you go on. You go on and serve me. It's okay. Go and sin no more. And I say, Lord, I'll never do it again. It ain't too long till I'm back. Well, Paul is saying, tell them about that now. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or made holy by trust, or by my word, or by faith that is in me. The only thing I've had to rely on since 82, right here, folks. Nothing else has worked for me. You know, I watch TV and I watch our country in such turmoil and the vileness and the vulgarity. My goodness, all you hear is bleep, 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 bleep. And then sometimes don't even bleep it. Instead of bleeping it, they'll write it. Now, I guess they think that's okay. You know, and then they'll put the first initial on there and leave all this as if you don't know what that means. Well, you might as well go ahead and say it, bless God, because God sees it. You ain't hiding anything from Him. He sees everything. And every word will one day be answered for. They need to understand that. You'll answer for it at the throne of grace, or you'll answer for it at the great white throne. It's your choice. It's your choice. So then I got to go to Romans. Now, real quick, I got to go and I got to finish. I'm just going to read now. It should be understandable to you. I got to get out of Romans 9 or I'll be here forever. Verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. What does that tell you? These people in this world, it's not his people, folks. That's what it's saying. But if you come to him,